Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Dakota Lone Star here. I was actually thinking this morning, we're just a few days out from the from a primary election in terms of our lifetime, collective lifetime. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about something that matters to me greatly. All right, so in 2009, Nidal Hassan perpetrated the greatest massacre ever to take place on the United States Air Force, or United States Army base, rather, stateside, and our feckless leader, the tough guy, wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. You know, referred to it as workplace violence. Then you've got Colleen Hufford in Oklahoma, who was literally beheaded, and her family lost a wife, a mother, a daughter, perhaps even a granddaughter, depending on a next of kin that were still alive. Then you have San Bernardino, and you have the Boston Marathon bombing. In San Bernardino, evidently the perpetrators or devils were looking to continue their evil act. Was they were looking to continue elsewhere had they not been stopped in their tracks. But all right, so we have a president that just wants to call it workplace violence at every turn. So I'll make one concession. Sure, we can make one concession. Workplace violence in the name of Allah. How about that, sweetheart? It's time to put on your big boy pants. Workplace violence in the name of Allah. And in today's Washington Times, the Thursday, November 3rd edition of the Washington Times, on the A10 in the world section, there's an article about Nigeria, and I want to go ahead and read this article. It's not very long, it's just a few paragraphs, and then we're going to talk about it. Because I wanted to entitle today's program, Workplace and Neighborly Violence in the Name of Allah. And I am going to grab my readers and don those and begin this particular article. Call number today is 929-477-4090. You can actually reach me as well. This is actually a last-minute program, but it's of vital importance because in a borderless world, you end up with crap loads of demonic boys in charge at best. And demonic girls, at any rate, anyone that would blame rape victims for their attire, and Merkel and one of our candidates that's pro woman, right? So, all right. So I'm going to read this article. It's by Haruna Umar. It's entitled "Bombs, Bribes, Mud: As Nigeria's Boko Haram Refugees Go Home." And I just wanted to speak to you. I've spoken in times past to workplace violence in the name of Allah at great length. But today I want to talk about neighborly violence in the name of Allah, all right, where Sharia shanks rule the day, or Sharia shankdom. All right, and you can give me a call at 929-477-4090, whether you're for open borders or for closed borders, or anything in between. But I want to read this article first. All right, so Maiduguri, Nigeria, Haruna Umar writes, "First there was the bomb blast that killed 8 people, then delays as soldiers demanded bribes." Soldiers. Okay, so Nigerian soldiers, not at all unlike our one of our candidates for the presidency of the United States of America in the 2016 election. But then delays as soldiers demanded bribes to escort the survivors on their journey. Finally, the way was blocked by trucks mired in churned up mud. When the refugees from Boko Haram's Islamic insurgency eventually made it home to a newly liberated town in northeast Nigeria, they found people but no food, quote unquote. Last week, as they made the hazardous trip for a second time with food and other supplies, a truck exploded a landmine, wounding several refugees. And this is just, you know, regular everyday life in Nigeria for hundreds of thousands and millions of their inhabitants at the hands of Sharia Shankdom. All right. But many say the dangerous journey is preferable to the hunger, humiliation, and inhumane conditions in refugee camps where more than 1 million Nigerians displaced by Boko Haram are waiting to go home. Okay, so you have more than 1 million Nigerians still waiting to return, not to their workplace, but to their homes, all right, or their home, or any semblance thereof. It says many are in Madagiri, whatever, the biggest city in the northeast, the birthplace of Boko Haram. Woo, big cities in their urban culture. All right, the sheer number of triggermen or trigger boys looking to blame manufacturers here, and since we've evolved here in the United States for gun deaths, 99.99% of them anyway. It says many are in, let's see. All right, so Boko Haram, which has killed more than 20,000 and forced 2.6 million from their homes. 2.6 million from their homes. Wow. All right. So there's a figure to look at in the name of Allah. Neighborly, really, you know, how neighborly is that in terms of their form of Allah-dom, Sharia Shank-dom? All right. It says, as Nigeria's military pushes back against the insurgency and declares once inaccessible regions to be liberated, more and more refugees are weighing whether to return. Now, you can't, you know, while we have the Colin Kaepernicks here that kneel on sidelines during professional football games, and these are the loosely United States of America, thank God, over there, you have people wondering whether or not, you know, the internment and refugee camps are a better choice than returning home because safety is at an all-time high as of late there, evidently, quote-unquote. But the journey is just the first challenge. The returnees find firebombed homes, destroyed wells, and the constant fear of attacks by the extremists who roam the region and keep vast parts of it inaccessible. Wow. Okay, so I want you to pay attention to the word destroyed there, because there is a particular individual, spiritual individual. Two spirits are gone out into the world, the spirit of destruction and the spirit of construction. I've said that in the past, but people just really aren't bright enough to realize the effectual difference between carpet bombing and strafing runs to save their lives, especially in these United States of America. But I'll get into that in just a little bit. All right, so the fears keep returnees from planting their crops despite famine-like conditions. The aid workers warn already are killing children and threatening hundreds of thousands. All right, Nigeria is facing the worst. Now, this is a quote, mind you. Nigeria is facing the worst humanitarian crisis on the African continent, Peter Lundberg, the acting UN deputy humanitarian coordinator, said last week. Oh, so what are you doing about it? The UN, United Nations, I mean, I think you have several seats there, right? You can't come up with a large enough purse, collectively speaking, outside of a We Are the World concert and endless Bruce Springsteen concerts to boot, to take care of these people. So you're basically next to useless. All right. The Associated Press tracked returnees to the twin towns of Gambura, Nagala, on the border with Cameroon, which Nigeria's military liberated in August. Okay, is that the same Nigerian military that's taking bribes, whose soldiers, rather, are demanding bribes to escort the survivors on their journey from internment camps, for all practical purposes, to would-be homecomings of sorts. All right, so the article goes on to say the towns had suffered one of the worst attacks by Boko Haram, whose fighters struck the night of May 5th, 2014, in two armored cars stolen from the military. Two armored cars, Mr. President. We're not talking about carpet bombing. We're talking about well-timed strafing runs, for your information and for your constituency who unfortunately runs an average IQ of around maybe 80. Yeah, strafing runs take out two armored cars quite easily via satellite imagery today, I would think. But they used rocket-propelled grenades, two armored cars, and assault rifles, as opposed to Janjaweed, who used to pillage about and rape and murder and dismember and so forth on horseback, which I'm sure couldn't be picked up by satellite imagery either, Google Earth or something to that effect. All right, but they killed more than 300 people and destroyed. There's that word again, destroyed. The destroyer came not except for to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Almost every building in the towns, which are a major trading post on an international highway. After the military declared the twin towns liberated, residents eager to return home were told to gather at a bus station on Maiduguri's outskirts. But for weeks, they found little help. For weeks. Okay, so the efficacy and the efficiency of the United Nations is just, I'm awestruck by the fact that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 seats couldn't get together and do something collectively somewhat faster, but you're looking to, in the UNESCO, save the world, right, from aliens in 2030. So the government said we could return home, but for over a month now we have been abandoned, said one displaced trader, Baba Ghana. We have nothing to eat. Some women are resorting to selling their clothing while others take to the streets to beg. Many residents said soldiers who said they are not being paid were demanding bribes to accompany them home. That's a repeat. Nigeria's military denied those charges, but truckers confirmed they have to pay the equivalent of up to $600 for military escorts. That kind of sounds like our government over the course of the last 8 years anyway. This month, a group of residents decided to set out on their own. Before they even left Maiduguri, a bomb exploded in a taxi van, killing 8, according to the Emergency Management Agency. The determined convoy still set off, only to find the highway blocked by 18 trucks mired in mud on what used to be a paved road, according to Amodu Musa, Secretary of the National Union of Road Transport Workers. He said they hired a crane and towing vans to pull out the vehicles. Well, when we got to Gambura, we discovered that there were people but no food, he said. Last week, President Mohamed Bahuri launched a committee to draw up strategy for resettlement and reconstruction of the shattered region. People have lost to everything. Actually, that's a quote. People have lost everything to the insurgency, he said. All right. So that's Boko Haram. All right. And not to mention they one of their feckless interns, a multi-billionaire to the tune of $4.2 billion by the name of Gilbert Gidley Boy Chigauri, is what I call him, allegedly gave money to the Clinton Foundation, and yet this particular candidate is for women. Okay, wow, interesting. So you can be in bed today's, in today's modern family, you can go to bed with a multi-billionaire terrorist, or a terrorist that's a multi-billionaire at $4.2 billion, and be for women. And I'm not quite sure how that works out, but it does appear to work out in the new America. So Number one, the government said we could return home, but for over a month now we have been abandoned. Okay. So again, that leads to the UN deputies and the UN's lackluster, meaningful, effectual appeal the world over. So that's just Boko Haram at 2.6 million displacements, not to mention 20 or 30,000 or 40,000. This was an Associated Press article, so we're not sure, but they listed over 20,000 murdered by Boko Haram. Then there's Janjaweed and Darfur. Remember Darfur? Remember when America's elite, Hollywood elite, began holding concerts and for Darfur? And, well, that did a lot of good, didn't it? Now, a few A-10 strafing runs would have done Darfur right had we the spinal aptitude and or intestinal fortitude to 5, 7, 8, 10s coursing Darfurian airspace and navigating Darfurian airspace and using rather large rounds to take out devils on horseback that eventually grew to larger groups, of course, because that's kind of how things work in the life cycle of, well, really next to anything, whether you're LGBT and now you're LGBTQ, and later you'll add, I'm sure it'll be all the letters in the alphabet at some point, and good for you. But start your own churches and start your own scouting groups and realize American exceptionalism at the hands of healthy, quote-unquote, safe space, if you will. All right, I've got a headache. I'm going to end this program. God save America. I've got an election coming up, and Donald Trump is really probably the free world's last chance at what Reagan spoke to so eloquently. And remember, you can check me out online at 40and28.weebly.com. 40 stands for South Dakota, Dakota del Sur, for those of you that can speak a little Spanish. And 28 represents the Lone Star State of Texas. And so 40and28.weebly.com. Also catch up with me on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. And also on Facebook simply as Dakota, DAKOTA space Lone Star. All right, good riddance to those that refer to women as pigs in lipstick and actually have selective amnesia. Unless actual amnesia set in. Maybe it was a reliance on teleprompters that has caused kind of a scatterbrained leftist ideology today to take root. And urban America in Chicago probably has a lot of similarities other than World Series Cubbies Game 7 victory as of early the wee hours of the morning today, November 3rd. And congratulations to the Cubs and to the city of Chicago for having several shows predicated by the word Chicago, because Chicago needs all the help it can get, seeing that it leads the nation and perhaps many international countries in the murder rate. All right, c'est la vie. Until next time, ciao.